A lot of times I noticed that issues occur because of miscommunication. Not really because, you know, both parties don't speak the same language, but more because things that should be said aren't clearly said, right?
Welcome to the All In Recruitment podcast by Manatal, where we explore best practices, learnings, and trends with leaders in the recruitment space. If you've liked our content so far, please subscribe to our channels on YouTube and Spotify to stay tuned for our episodes every week. My name is Lydia, and with us today is Thomas Ila, Director of the Recruiting Division at Rirakuan in Thailand. Hello, Thomas, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So, Thomas, tell me a little bit about your background. I see you started your recruitment journey in Japan, and you have been based in Bangkok for several years now. So walk us through that journey.
My recruiting experience started 23 years, January 2000 in Tokyo, when I joined a headhunting company. And it was interesting because at that time, there wasn't any real recruiting going on in Tokyo. It was full-on passive candidate recruiting, so headhunting, cold calls all day long. And there was basically only one or two big players in that space in Tokyo at that time. And after about, I'd say, a year and a half, I developed an expertise in legal recruiting. So my specialization were Japanese attorneys, Japanese lawyers. My typical clients were financial institutions, investment banks, you know, all the big names, as well as big corporates, big global firms, and then the international law firms. They all kind of had the budget and were interested in hiring Japanese attorneys. And after doing that for, I'd say, 10 or 11 years, I shifted my focus to Thailand. And then got into a management role of recruiting firms. So at first, I was basically doing the job myself. And then later on, I managed and trained people in doing so. So here in Thailand, it's both. It's a general recruiting from junior over mid-level to senior, as well as executive search. Whereas in Japan, it really was predominantly executive search.
So tell us a little bit about your role at Rirakuan and what your priorities have been so far.
Okay. So at Rirakuan, I'm running the recruiting division covering all Thailand with two distinct hubs, which is the greater Bangkok area, as well as the Eastern Seaboard. Eastern Seaboard is the area between Bangkok and Pattaya, basically, with a lot of industrial estates. 15 major industrial estates and famous companies from all over the world have their production facility there. So the Eastern Seaboard is really a manufacturing hub in Southeast Asia with excellent infrastructure and therefore very attractive to companies that want to produce over here. So again, so the focus is this area, and then our clients usually look for in the Eastern Seaboard area are production professionals, as well as, you know, the typical back office roles. We're in Bangkok. It's a lot of sales. It's a lot of marketing. Typical back office roles is accounting and finance, HR admin, legal and compliance, and general management roles.
Yeah. You've talked about building your own recruitment experience and then finding your way into executive search over in Japan and entering the legal space. And many have described recruitment as something that is a relentless yet rewarding and, you know, in its pursuit for success. And often many people fail and some give up altogether. So what are some ways to become an expert in your recruitment niche?
Right. Yeah. I think you addressed the right topic. It's a challenging kind of work. You know, it's a sales position, and whereas in many other jobs, once you finish the job, you've done it to the job you were given. You can kind of lean back a little bit and wait for the next job to come, right? Whereas the recruiting industry requires people to be very proactive. We always have to look out for the next good client. We always have to look for the best talent in the market. Unless we do something, nothing happens. So you have to be driven. You have to be self-motivated. And if you're not that kind of person, it'll be difficult. Yeah.
And in terms of recruitment, there is a long-standing debate about hiring generalists versus specialists. I mean, it's obviously not as simple and as straightforward as it sounds, or is it? So what might be your perspective on this, especially in today's context?
Right. Well, personally, I was a specialist. Mm-hmm. And having run large recruiting firms over the past 10 years, I'd still be looking for the specialists. Mm-hmm. Because it is that the client always wants to talk to the expert. Right. The CFO wants to talk to a recruiting consultant that specializes in accounting and finance roles, mm-hmm. because he or she will know accounting and finance people way better than a generalist. Right. So I think in order to be competitive in this really competitive landscape, you have to be a specialist. It's okay to start out as a generalist, but after some time, I'd recommend everybody to find their specialty. Something they are most interested in and most comfortable with. You know, when I started out, I literally scouted everyone, right? I met with IT people, HR people, accounting and finance people, marketing people, sales people, legal and compliance people, generalists. There were a lot of generalists in Japan at that time. Mm-hmm. Until I found the profession I was most interested in. So that really helps. That's mm-hmm. another item for being self-motivated. If you can meet the people you like in your niche, it'll be all the easier for you to reach out to them.
And Thomas, how did you identify that this was the vertical or this was the industry that you're most interested in?
Just by meeting all these people, you know, and you naturally have an inclination towards a certain type of people. And I remember I met this Japanese lawyer from a very large Japanese trading house. And he was a very well-educated. I think he was a graduate from Tokyo University. And he had a master's of law from Harvard University. He wore an Armani suit, was very well-spoken, you know, very articulate, very sharp. And I just felt, wow, I can learn something from, from him and from other candidates like him. So I want to meet more people like him, and of course on the client side as well. And it was easy for me to find these niches because it was just so stimulating.
Hmm. Now, were there any steps that you had taken maybe to become more involved or more knowledgeable or more skilled at speaking with the professionals from this particular field?
Yes, and you know the best training is just meet as many people as possible and have really good in-depth conversations, but don't get sidetracked. I mean, let's talk about me having been an executive search consultant for Japanese legal professionals. I was never required to become a legal professional or to really know about their legal work. I always said, I'm not a legal professional, but I know about the careers of legal professionals. So I could advise my candidates on how to develop their careers, and I could advise the clients on what kind of candidate is the most qualified and perhaps even the best for this particular position within the legal space. Yeah, so I mean, we don't have to study, you know, we don't have to go to YouTube or whatever. Just meet the professionals and talk to as many people as possible. This is all free training. Free lectures, free knowledge. There isn't a single meeting where you don't learn something.
And what are some tips you might have, Thomas, on how to identify and even initiate these conversations, particularly with passive candidates?
All right. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk on LinkedIn, for instance. What are the best ways to reach out to get the highest response rate? I think what worked best for me was a consulting approach where I would just reach out to a key professional and consult with him regarding a particular search I have. Mm-hmm. And since I'm my team now, since they are specialized recruiters in a certain function, when they reach out to somebody in that function, it is very relevant. You see, I brought the example of a CFO a little bit before. And yes, if an accounting finance specialized recruiting consultant reaches out to a CFO and maybe asks for any vacancies he may have in his organizations or to see if he's interested in opportunities, it is already relevant because there was a recruiting consultant or an executive search consultant that has done a certain amount of work in this particular vertical and therefore is knowledgeable. It's the best person to talk to develop your career. But going back to the best approach, yeah, I like the consulting approach where I basically reach out to people and say, I've got this confidential search at hand. Mm-hmm. And to me, it sounds a really good opportunity because of this and that. And I was just wondering if there's anybody in his or her network who'd be interested in learning more about this opportunity.
So let's move to the agency perspective of recruitment. So the recruitment space is, as all of us know, incredibly competitive today. And the talent space is equally complex. And, you know, recruitment agencies really have to step up. So what are some ways that recruiters can discuss that tricky but necessary subject of fees with clients?
First of all, we need to understand about our industry. We work in the contingent search industry, which is success fee-based recruiting, really. So that means the client only pays once they hire the most qualified, the best candidate coming from us. This is like you go to a restaurant and you have a meal and you only pay once you like what you ate, right? I mean, you got to understand that. So we provide all of our work, all of our service for free, and we only charge once we succeed in placing the best person. So I want everybody that's in the success fee-based recruiting industry to have a lot of confidence about their fee structure and the way we charge our clients, because it is really nice. It's nice. It's very good for the customer, very good for the client. So have confidence and don't be shy about it. And you put in a lot of work to find the best candidate. You used all kinds of tools. You did your homework. You know, you pre-screened the candidates and so on. And therefore, you deserve a fee. You deserve to be compensated. So I'm not shy about it. I always approach directly. If somebody asks about the fees, I tell them about it. And there are standards in the industry. Mm. And if your fee structure is not so much over the standard, you don't have to be shy about it.
And once you've made a successful placement, what are some of the most important or immediate steps, next steps that you need to take to keep the client satisfied?
Right. Next steps after a successful placement, right? Well, we want to facilitate a smooth transition. So, of course, the client needs all the necessary documents. He needs to have the contact information of the candidate. We have to bring them together so that they can take care of all the paperwork that is perhaps necessary to make the transition. On the other hand, we have to work with the candidate. We have to prepare him for this step. I mean, changing companies, starting off in a new environment, in a new position, perhaps. It's never easy, right? So we've got to talk with him or her about it and maybe mention some of the, you know, obstacles or things that may come up. Kind of troubleshoot before the trouble actually occurs. And we got to do the proper follow-up as well. So before starting date, after starting date, maybe a day after, a week after, a month after, and on both sides, not only on the candidate side, but also on the client side, because there might be issues. And a lot of times I noticed that issues occur because of miscommunication, not really because, you know, both parties don't speak the same language, but more because things that should be said aren't clearly said, right? So perhaps it's something a little bit touchy, something a little bit tricky to discuss, and then people shy away from talking about it, but that's never helpful. This is where the recruiter, as a third person, as a third party, can really add value and facilitate a proper communication. And again, then troubleshoot.
And act as a mediator, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And for companies that are looking to partner with an agency, what might be some ways that they can get the best results from a recruitment partner?
I think companies that are looking to partner with an agency, they will always get great results. It's the companies that regard a recruiting firm, a recruiting agency, as just another vendor that probably don't get the best results. We want our clients to work closely with us. We want them to really partner with us. So that's why I said, you know, if the company wants to partner with us, we are happy to partner with them. We want to learn all about their organization. We want to learn about all about what kind of character traits, what kind of professional background they're looking at their candidates. And then we can go out and find the most suitable person. It's when the client keeps us at distance, when they don't really open up, when they don't tell us about perhaps the background of the position. Why did the position come about? What happened before? Or the recruiting process, how long does it take to set up meetings? And I think clarity, transparency, partnering, that will all create a very, very successful recruiting experience for the client working with a recruiting agency.
And for recruiters in the executive search space, what might be some trends that they should look out for and maybe prepare even in the near future?
Right. There's always industries that are growing, and I don't need to mention them here. I think everybody knows that. You can do a little Google search and then you will know what industries are growing. If this is your chosen industry, then just simplify it. Get to know all the key players. Just do your work, right? Likewise, if you're a function-based recruiter, let's say you specialize in head of productions. Mm-hmm. Go out, know all the heads of productions. I mean, there's an unlimited amount of professionals out there in almost every function. So just go out, know your people, know your market, build a huge network. Later on, take advantage of your network to take you to the next client or to take you to that elusive candidate everybody has been looking for. Yeah, that would be my advice.
So plenty of recruitment tools and technologies out there, and HR tech is booming. So what kind of impact do you think these technologies like Manitoul have had on the industry?
They all have its place. They all have its place. And of course, they've changed the landscape a little. Maybe more than I'd like to admit, because I'm the old school face-to-face headhunter type, right? But yes, HR tech is important. We are all so busy now, right? So whenever you can cut down time, whenever you can do things faster than you used to do, you save a little bit of time, you open up room for something else. So I think it's important for all these different apps and platforms to be there. They make the space more colorful, more productive and effective. But on the other hand, I'm a believer in face-to-face, old school, person-to-person recruiting.
That human touch always needs to be there in a people space, right?
Right. There was the fear that, you know, once HR tech becomes so dominant, that old school face-to-face, person-to-person recruiting goes out of business. But that has never happened, and I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
So you've had lots of experience in recruitment, Thomas. What advice would you give someone starting out in this space today?
Right. Know yourself. You know your personality. Know what you want. And understand that this is a self-driven proactive kind of job. And if you're that kind of person, then by all means, go into it, enjoy it, organize yourself, work systematically, and as soon as possible, find your specialization and then become the expert in it. Just aim to be number one in that space. And there's a lot of work until you become number one, but aim to be the number one. And in the course of becoming number one, you'll already be successful.
Thank you very much for your time and insights, Thomas. I'm sure the audience would also want to know where to connect with you, having seen this and having discovered some of the expertise that you've already mentioned earlier. So where can they find you?
Right. I think LinkedIn is probably one of the best ways. I've got 25,000 people on there. And I'm very approachable. I usually reply.
Right. And we have been in conversation with Thomas Ehler, Director of the Recruiting Division at Rirakorn in Thailand. If you like our content, please subscribe to our channels to stay tuned for more weekly episodes of All In Recruitment. Thank you.